First chapter, 1 John, please stand in reverence to reading God's word. First verse, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, that we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for this portion of Scripture. Thank you, first of all, Lord, for the word of God, and certainly the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, who makes it possible that we could even stand here tonight and approach you and pray to you and ask these things. Because of the shed blood of your Son, you've told us we could come boldly. This preacher sure needs you tonight. Lord, you know the needs of my life, and I ask you for them. I ask you to help me. I ask you to give me your power and wisdom and guidance tonight so that I can be a blessing to these people through the message which you've given us. Your will be done. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to make a few statements that are just simple statements that everyone in here knows. You and I, first of all, we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God the Son. And we know that it's an impossibility for us to go to heaven unless we come to him and receive him as our personal Savior. We know that. There's no other way to be saved. The gospel message is the only message that can save any man. That's why it's so important that we get the gospel out. Good to hear the two that was saved in Bloomfield. They heard the gospel, and they received the Lord as their Savior. See, we have to come to him and claim that salvation. There has to be a day, I'm not going to preach on salvation tonight, but there has to be a day when we understand that we are sinners. Amen? We've sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. We do that through conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. God convicts us. And we understand that we are a sinner and that we need the Savior, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we claim that. I look back and I'm grateful, and I think every person should ask themselves, am I saved? I think that's the right thing. I've done that more than once in my life. I want to make sure that I'm saved. Right? It's a good thing, right thing for us to do. And then I like to look back on when I was saved, where I was at when I was saved. I could take you probably within 3 foot of where I knelt and asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. I cannot tell you the date because I didn't write it down, but I know it was in April of 1966. I think that's important because that helps us understand that there's an assurance there that we know a time when we receive Christ as our Savior. That's why Jesus called it the new birth. Amen. Yes, sir. I was born in August 15th, 1939. I know physically when I was born, but also remember the time when I was born spiritually. Okay. So I just made those comments to try to help you understand that put me into a relationship with God Almighty. I became His son. We have a wonderful relationship, father and son relationship, because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? So you see, now, though, once we've been saved, we're God's child, we have to go on from there. We have to continue on. You know, it's really something when a baby is born, but that's just the beginning. I'm sure that Jenny and Jeff is finding that out. It's a wonderful thing to see a baby born, and many of the other ones have found that out also. But what happens after that? It's a different thing to grow them to maturity. That's a long process. It takes a long time to grow them up to maturity. I believe it's the same way with we as Christians. I believe when we're born again, it's going to take a while, and God deals with us and works with us and brings us to maturity. And He does that through fellowship with Him. I want to stress, because that's what I want to preach on tonight, is the subject of fellowship and the importance of fellowship. Each one of us, when we've had children, we want those children to grow. We expect them to mature physically, mentally. We would be probably hurt and worried if they did not. We know there is children that don't, but most children begin to grow. What I'm saying to you is, spiritually, it's the exact same thing. When we get saved, we must grow. It is a natural thing to grow as a Christian. That's natural. Don't let anybody try to fool you. When a person is not growing as a Christian, that is unnatural. Okay? Absolutely unnatural. So we are to grow as a Christian. We have to be very careful in a young child that is ours, how we treat, how we raise that young child, because if we baby them and we just do everything for them, they're not going to grow correctly. Every time they fall down and you run and grab them up and help them up, and you got to let them have some bumps along the way. I'm not talking about getting hurt. I'm just saying they've got to grow. They've got to mature. It's the same way with God's people. There has to be the maturity. And the only way that you and I can mature like we ought to is to stay in wonderful fellowship with our Heavenly Father. If we get out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's really trouble in our life. We are not going to grow like we should. And I'm afeard. I'm not thinking of anybody, but I'm afeard there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians in America today that are not growing because they're out of fellowship with God Almighty. They're not in true fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship means agreement, accord, harmony, partnership, communion. It means something that you share with someone. And so if we're going to have fellowship with God, we're going to have to be in communion with God. We're going to have to be in fellowship with Him, in agreement with Him, not Him with us. Okay? So it's very, very important. In a family situation, if a little brother, I can't imagine any boy doing this, but a little brother would kick his sister, they would be some real broken fellowship real quick. Probably not only with the sister, but with the parents, more than likely. And then that fellowship has to be restored. Somewhere along the line, there has to be some forgiveness and cleansing, and where they'll once again have fellowship again. Same thing with our Heavenly Father. Now, going back to relationship just for a minute, because there's a difference between relationship and fellowship. Going back to relationship, it means kinship, parentage, lineage, blood connection. I had my mother and dad's picture in there on my desk, and I had it set out to bring it out here. And you know where it's at. It's in there on my desk. But I have kept a picture of my mother and father on my desk in there for many, many years. And I look up once in a while and say, Mom and Dad, thanks. Just thank you. And we have pictures at home of my family. And I'll go by it once in a while and thank Mom and Dad for just being Mom and Dad. But what I want to stress is this. I can't change the fact that I'm a Ross. It is impossible for me to change it. I could change my name, but my parents would still be Walter and Lena Ross. I could be adopted, but you can't change your parentage. Yes, sir. Impossibility. So no matter what happens, I am my mother and father's child. And my name is Ross. I could change it if I wanted to, but it wouldn't make any difference. I am still Robert Ross. Because that was my parentage. I was born into that family, and I absolutely cannot change that. So relationship comes by birth. Your Heavenly Father became your Heavenly Father when you was born again. It comes by birth. But fellowship comes by conduct. How we act. Okay? I'm just asking you, get a hold of this. Because to have fellowship with the Father, our Heavenly Father, we must act right. Because sin breaks fellowship. It does not break relationship. Doesn't. The fact in 1966, April 1966, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I become a child of God, and there is absolutely nothing can break that. Nothing. Impossible. But I sure can break fellowship with my Heavenly Father. And the way we grow and mature is through fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Closeness to Him, minding Him, obeying Him. And we know and we'll see sin breaks fellowship. Do you understand that? Because he was talking here, if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You see, we don't have fellowship with the Father when there's sin reigning in our life. Okay? Now just mark it down. It's not to discourage you, it's to encourage you. Amen? So fellowship, if you want real fellowship, because that's where growth comes in. How do you grow as a Christian? Staying in fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Staying in a close fellowship with Him is where growth will come in. Now God wants all of His children to have fellowship with Him. Look at verse number 3 again. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to have fellowship, and that fellowship is, of course, through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to have that fellowship, no other way to have the relationship, no other way to have the fellowship. And God wants us to have a close fellowship with Him. God knows if we walk contrary to His word, get out of tune with His word and His ways, we're going to go into spiritual poverty. Okay, I said spiritual poverty. Because you cannot be the kind of Christian and the fellowship that you need if you're not in fellowship with the Heavenly Father. See, the Bible says in John 10:10, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Folks, he's not talking about eternal life there. He's talking about life. He said, I want you to have life abundant. Every day of your life, I want a close fellowship with you. I want you to love me and I love as I love you, and I want you to walk with me. That brings true abundant life. Okay? And then he also says in Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We have received Jesus Christ by faith. Now we have a life of faith. Our walk should be a life of faith. Okay? And the only way you can do that is stay in close fellowship with Jesus Christ. You understand? You see, fellowship is so important. Relationship, wonderful. But fellowship can be broken so easily. Understand? So easy. The wrong kind of conduct will have adverse effect upon your relationship with God. It'll have an effect upon it. It'll have certainly have an effect upon your fellowship. Now I'm going to go back to the book of Isaiah, if you want to, chapter 59. I want you to listen as I read this. I want you to hear what God says in his word. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. God said in verse 3 there, those things he's talking about, he said your hands are defiled, your fingers in iniquity, lips have spoken lies, tongue hath muttered perverseness. What is he saying? He's saying your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. A lot of people wonder if their prayers are heard. I know God doesn't answer every prayer in the affirmative, but I do believe he answers prayer. And he says sins will hide his face from us that he will not hear. Okay? So what are you trying to get over, Brother Ross? I'm trying to say the most important thing I believe in your whole life now that you are a Christian is to stay in fellowship with God Almighty. To stay in sweet fellowship with him. Because if you're not in sweet fellowship, there's sin in your life that continues to abound in your life. God hides his face. He does not hear. You can't fellowship with God with sin continually in your life. Isn't that right? Sure it is. So it's very, very important. Look over, and I'm going to turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the fifth chapter, verse 22. Verse 22. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bounds of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail, though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. And then listen to what he says. Your iniquities have turned away these things. And he says, and your sins have withholden good things from you. God is telling us that sin in our life will withhold good things from us. Amen? See, these are serious things. I know everybody in this room, I would think, probably fights sin. We're old wicked sinners. But by the grace of God, we'd be in hell. Right? But folks, we cannot let sin win. We cannot do that. God wants to give us multitudes of things. He wants us to have good things. He said, but many of these things, these good things that I want for you, are withheld from you because of iniquity. So why is that iniquity? Well, we've broken fellowship with our Heavenly Father. You understand? We've broken fellowship with Him. Now, when we get out of fellowship with our Heavenly Father, what does He do? He immediately takes action. You may see people, you may see the lost continue to sin and do all kinds of things, but I want to tell you something. When one of His children get out of whack with Him, He takes action. He does not just forget it. He doesn't say, whatever, as we humans do. No. He immediately begins to work, and I'm going to show you what He does. And I believe at that point He begins to institute and introduce to us discipline. Yes, sir. What do you do when one of your children get out of whack? You just say, let them go. Forget it. Of course you don't. You begin to introduce discipline. God does the same thing. So let's go over to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, please. Twelfth chapter of Hebrews, let me begin reading at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yielded the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In this portion of Scripture, God gives us three things He does the way He chastises us. The first one is found in verse number 5, where He says, not to faint when thou art rebuked of Him. God, first of all, rebukes us. Have you ever been rebuked by anybody? Have you ever been rebuked by the Lord? I have. Now, I want to ask you a question. You see, we're living in a society where rebuke is very hard for us, this proud nation and even proud Christians, to receive. They don't want anybody rebuking them. But let me tell you something. Rebuke is part of chastisement from the Lord. I remember back when I was just a new Christian and I had a habit in my life that was not a good habit. Brother Dave, you might remember Chalice over the mayor used to be, what his name, Chalice over Terre Haute, and his, excuse me? Yeah, he was the mayor, but his brother, you remember? Eli, thank you. Eli Chalice worked at Anaconda Aluminum Company where Dave and I worked. And he came in, and we got to talking. After I become a Christian, he would talk with me, and he was a very studious man when it come to the Bible. I mean, he was kind of different, but he was studious. He said, he come in one morning, he said, Brother Ross, he said, I'm going to tell you, I don't understand this, but he said, I was in my study last night, studying and praying, and I just got this impression. He said, over and over, he said, shame on Brother Ross. God's truth. I said, what? He said, no kidding. He said, I couldn't get away from it. Well, as soon as he said that, I knew what it was. God brought it to my mind. It's this habit I had. Shame on Brother Ross. Christian, God's child. And so I don't remember what I did. I was taken back. But I know what I did later. I quit the habit. That was a rebuke from the Lord. God said, shame on you. Amen? I've been rebuked by preachers. They didn't know it, but I've been rebuked by preachers. They just preaching away. One time, right after I had answered the call to preach, and I was sitting in this service. I wasn't pastoring anything yet. I was sitting in this service, and here was the preacher up here preaching. I mean, he was preaching a red-hot sermon, and it was all about stealing. Is that owing money and you won't pay your bills? And God brought to my mind, I've told you I'm not going to spend it a long time, but anyway, there's three people I owed. I owed one $5, one $10, and one $40. And that just, I mean, it was just like God said, the Holy Spirit said, there you are. I mean, he preached at me all that sermon. You ever been there? He just laid it out. I come away from there just about ready to die. I said, okay, Lord. Okay, I'll take care of it. So went back to them and got it all straightened out. In fact, I asked for forgiveness and told them I was sorry I stole from them. I didn't actually steal, but I didn't pay them the same thing. Same thing. And so I think God was saying, how are you going to preach when you got that on you? How are you going to be in fellowship with me? Whew. You ever get rebuked? Yes. I've been rebuked many times in preaching of the Word of God. That's what it's for. Amen. That my old pastor, Brother Evans, who I got saved under, he was good at rebuking. He's a tough old guy, just an old farmer, and went in one day and I'd missed church. I think it was on a Wednesday night. And I began to explain to him why I had missed church. He just looked at me and said, don't tell me about it. Go tell God. Can you imagine telling somebody in a congregation that today? Man, they would leave, run out. I thought, yeah, I guess that's true. And he rebuked me more than once. That's what it's for. That's what the Word's for. We need rebuked. But you watch it today. You rebuke people today, and I'm talking about one-to-one or even from the pulpit, and they hate it. They despise it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want you telling them nothing. God uses rebuke in chastisements. You understand me? Secondly, in verse number 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I want to tell you, God chastises people too. That's the second step. First was just some words, rebuke. God comes along and chastises. It means to educate by discipline. Okay? And God knows how to educate. I'll guarantee you. And so what he does is begin to send chastisement into our life. This is more serious than rebuke. We'll discuss in a minute, and I'll give you an illustration of what it means like in dealing with a child. But he begins to get after us and to put action into his words instead of just words to rebuke. He begins to chastise us. Now, I want to say something to you here because I've watched this over the years. You want to be very careful. You and I cannot judge whether a person is being chastised or not. Now, if it was they are living in open sin and you see signs of chastisement, you can say that's normal because God deals with those who live in open sin. But you and I don't know what's going on inside. And you've got to be very careful how buddy-buddy you are with someone and how nicey-nice you are to someone, because you know what? You may be interfering with the chastisement of God in their life. You don't know what their thought life is. You don't know what they do when they're alone. But God does. And He knows what every one of us does. And He may be chastising us on something, and we think they're just having a hard time. Understand? You got to be very careful. But God chastises, you see. Thirdly, look at verse number 6. And He says, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Then He gets to the third place. This is scourging, and that means a whipping. God gives us a whipping. You ever had a whipping from the Lord? I've had them from my daddy, I'm going to tell you. And I've had them from the Lord. Yes, I have. I'm glad I have. I wouldn't be a son if I wasn't getting some chastisement and rebuke and scourging. Okay? But what we do is we don't want to hear this. We want to blame all of those things on somebody else. Somebody else is causing me trouble. And let me say something. Whenever you're criticized, one of the best things in the world you can do when you're criticized is check that criticism out. I mean, really check it out. Because you know what? A lot of times criticism, although the whole criticism may not be true, there's an element of criticism that God is trying to get us to see in our life. Don't be afraid to be criticized. Because you can weigh it, you can look at it, you can see. But see, we human beings don't want any of that. We don't want to be rebuked, we don't want to be chastised, and we don't want to be scourged. We don't want to be whipped. Be like a child. You take a child and you rebuke him with words. You say to him, now, you did this, and I don't want you to do that anymore. I want you to straighten up, and I don't want any more of that, okay? Okay, Mom, okay, Dad. Okay. Next, you get chastisement. You maybe set him in a corner or take something away from him or not allow him to go anywhere for a week or two. And there's certain things, chastisement comes into it. But if you don't straighten up, he gets a scourging. He gets a whipping. Whippings are good for us. Children, whippings are good. God ordained them. See, but most people, most young people, don't want that nowadays. They don't want rebuke. They don't want chastisement. And they don't want a whipping. Dr. Spock don't want you to have one either. But God does. Amen. So it's very, very important that we stay in fellowship with God. Those things, rebuke from God, chastisement from God, scourging from God, puts us back into fellowship with God. That's what it's designed for. Don't hate it. Just love it because God's doing it for your benefit and my benefit. Amen. He straightened me out a lot of times in my life, and I stand here today, thank God for it. He needed to straighten me out. And He needs to straighten you out too. Amen. Hebrews the 6th verse. Look what it says. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourges every son whom He receiveth. Everybody gets it. If you say to me, I don't get anything like that from God, then better get saved. Because every child of God gets it. You may think you're a prima donna. You may think you're just really uptown and you don't do anything wrong, but that's not true according to the Word of God. We all get it. What's that do? Keeps us in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Look at verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, you see what he said, all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. In other words, if you're not getting chastisement from God, you're not a son. True? God chastises, you see. And again, I want to say to you, be very careful about judging who's being chastised and who isn't. There's a lot of things God allows to happen in his children's lives that is not chastisement. It's building our faith. It's letting us be an example of faith. There's a lot of good things God does through tough times. But always check out, is God chastising me? Is there something there that God wants to speak to me about? Amen. Another thing, in verse number 5, he says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. The main thing is, folks, listen, we can't resent God's chastisement. It's done for our benefit. It's done because he loves us. And he said there not to despise it, not to resent it, but to accept it because God is trying to do something wonderful in our life. And then look at verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Listen, unto them which are exercised thereby. It'll do something for you if you let chastisement do something for you. If you fight it and resent it, he'll just have to keep after you. I've seen in my life, I've seen it in other people's lives, there's areas in a person's life, and God sends sometimes people into your life and to help you through maybe chastisement, through other things, and we go around it. We skirt the issue. We won't face what's matter in our life. You don't have to worry about it. Down the road, there's going to be another one that God sends. Because if we don't get it straightened out, he's going to keep sending it. So there's areas, you see, that just need to be taken care of. There's many people who carry around a bad attitude, bad spirit, hard to get along with. I want to tell you something. That's not of God. Never will be, never has been. Never. Never of God. It shows that there's some fellowship needed with your Heavenly Father. There's a broken fellowship there when a person runs around all the time with a bad attitude, bad spirit, hard to get along with. That is not of God. Never has been, never will be. Amen. See, fellowship with God brings peace to our lives. I want to go over to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be the last scripture we'll look at. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, please. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I know the scriptures are familiar, but listen to what God says. Examine self. Bob Ross, examine self. You examine self. It's what we do in the Lord's Supper. We're to examine ourselves. But he says, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What for? When you've found wrong in your life, you get it right. You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me, please. Forgive me. And then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Okay? And then he says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I could prove to you in the Bible that Paul was weak and sickly at times. Other men in the Bible was sick, nigh unto death. It wasn't because they had did what it said here. There's people who get sick because God just allows it. He can bring glory to himself. You remember the blind man? He said he wasn't blind because of sin. He was blind to bring glory to God. But there also is the element. According to the scriptures, if we don't judge ourselves, when there's sin in our life, we don't judge ourselves, we could be sickly and even die, according to the scripture. We need to judge ourselves. That's what he says. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, listen, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You know what that is? That's the love of God chastising us. And once you get your life straightened out, he's saying to us, let's get it straight. Just want you to know something, including this guy up here. There's not a one in here this day that doesn't need rebuke and chastisement and scourging from the Lord. But let me guarantee you something. There's a way to cut back on that. Stay in fellowship with your heavenly Father. Sweet fellowship. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your kindness and goodness to us. And we do need the fellowship of the Lord. And I ask you, Father, certainly to help us to always walk with you in a way that would be pleasing. And Lord, when we are wrong, thank you that you care enough to rebuke us and chastise us and even scourge us when it's necessary. Thank you for that. Now, Lord, the will of God be done in this invitation. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.